Historically, when you stand out from the crowd, there are bound to be ramifications. Being too young or being too old, having an accent, overcoming a disability, being female or a person of color. These so-called boxes that we fall into don't define who we are. They should just be minor details in each of our personal narratives, not the main storyline. But in a world of sameness, these details do make you stand out. And in Deanna McFadder's opinion, standing out doesn't have to be a bad thing.
I see it as a superpower, all the boxes that I'm able to check. And so I think that feeling empowered by the labels versus letting the labels define me is what I would say to anyone, because everyone has the boxes that they check. But seeing those as a superpower that can allow you to connect dots for people, how I would encourage people to see themselves.
Deanna is the co-founder and CEO of Nachi, a company on a mission to use data to help us all unlock more of our humanity. Over the course of her impressive career, Deanna has learned one thing for sure. Connections matter. Sometimes what gets us in the room isn't always what we want to get us in the room. But that doesn't have to be a bad thing if you learn to leverage those points of connection for good. There are always exciting things happening in the world of small business. The news that grabs the headlines, though, are always the highlights, the overnight successes, the billion-dollar IPOs, the massive exits. But just like your Instagram feed, that's never the whole story. Let's look deeper than the headlines and the press photos. Underneath all of that is the real work building something valuable and lasting. Don't get me wrong, I love crazy success stories and can be drawn into those big flashy tales just as much as the next person. But we all know that what's more important than the destination is how you get there. It's the struggles you have to overcome and the insights you learn along the way that make you who you are. So those are the stories we're telling. It's raw, it's honest, and maybe it's exactly what you need to hear. I'm Hillary Georgie. And this is The Journey. Deanna was the whiz kid we all secretly were jealous of growing up. She not only understood math, she actually enjoyed it.
I was the kid in the car during the road trip doing like word puzzles and problem solving games. And I've always liked math, in particular statistics. So I fell into this world of math, but math for the story that it tells, which is what I think statistics is all about.
Deanna's passions didn't start and end with academics. She also grew up with a love for basketball, something that opened up a lot of doors for her early on.
I was a pretty good basketball player, and I was fortunate enough to play in a program growing up that was one of the best in the country. So I had great options to go to really good schools academically and also play basketball.
Her skills on the court, combined with her abilities in the classroom, made Deanna an all-around all-star who colleges wanted on their campuses. She received a lot of attention from schools across the country, but her interest wasn't piqued until a very special school reached out.
West Point was reaching out to me, so the military wasn't even on my radar as something that I'd want to do. But the coach that was calling me from West Point was from Ohio as well, which is where I grew up. So she was able to hone in on things we had in common. So her conversations out of everyone were the most interesting. And when I was in New York City, actually visiting Columbia for an academic scholarship, my dad was like, hey, West Point's actually not too far away. So on our trip, do you want to just check it out? I then ended up having West Point as my first official visit. Then I canceled all my other official visits that I was getting as a recruited athlete because I just felt like a higher power than me was calling me to be there.
She committed to West Point, where she studied statistics, met lifelong friends, and began to craft a future for herself in the military. Everything seemed to be going better than planned, until a harsh reminder of what the military could have in store for her came knocking.
At the beginning of my sophomore year there, September 11th happened, which completely changed the way that experience unfolded. We were at peace, essentially, when I went. I didn't have any thought of going to war. And fast forward, by the time we graduated, all of my friends, everyone, that's where you were going to go, right? You were going to finish your training, and more than likely, you were going to go to the front line.
Deanna began working hard to build mental and physical fortitude she thought she'd need. She prepared for the worst, but hoped for the best. It wasn't until about a month and a half before graduation that she found out that none of her plans, neither the good nor the bad would actually ever come to fruition.
I actually got an honorable discharge when I graduated because of a medical condition that I had. I was thrust into figuring out what I wanted to do with my life when I thought the next 5 years were decided for me. So went through some, the best way I can describe it is some survivor's guilt, but thrust myself into corporate America. So I was waging a very different path than all of my closest friends and classmates.
Her life shifted from a set path in a rigid system to job fairs and corporate calling cards. It was a change of pace that caused her mind to do backflips, fighting to justify the existential crisis of why she was left on the sidelines while many of her closest friends were deep in a war. That experience equipped her with a unique and powerful perspective on life. If her classmates were facing decisions like whether or not to pull the trigger, then who was she to not be able to hold down the fort at home and face anything the corporate world threw her way?
I went to a career conference focused on the service academy, and I stood out like a sore thumb. So I was 10 years younger than basically everyone there. I was female and I was Black. So those things alone made it so basically every employer there wanted to talk to me, at least to figure out like, what's this about? I knew I wanted to probably be in leadership or people management, maybe some marketing because I'd have some exposure to that, but I didn't have any idea what I wanted to do. So I talked to everyone. If you wanted to talk to me, I talked to you.
Everyone wanted to talk to her, but not always for the right reasons.
I grew up in white suburbia, so I'm actually really comfortable being in rooms like that. So I do think I've found a way to channel that into a strength, and I'm pretty good at being able to bridge that gap for people. I'm okay with your reasons not being maybe what I want your reasons to be of why you want to talk to me. Maybe you're just curious or I'm a novelty to you. I feel really good about my ability once I'm in conversation with someone to bring them into my world the way that I want to frame a conversation.
And it's that mentality which has become Deanna's hallmark. She's the great connector, using any opening to find common ground and move forward from there. That career fair brought her two very different opportunities.
West Point has covert recruiting for the CIA. So some of the professors there are also in the CIA and they're recruiting without telling you. So I actually was recruited for that. So that was one of my final choices. And then it was Procter & Gamble. So it's pretty ridiculous, kind of the range that I had. And Procter was only an option, really, because they are one of the only employers that had West Pointers at this conference. So I felt a lot of connection with the people I was talking to.
Deanna accepted the job offer at Procter. She started on the customer team in Arkansas, where her first boss was also a West Point graduate. Procter was an opportunity for her to flex her skills beyond the military. It was structured just enough for her to feel at home, yet was loose enough that she began to get a taste of what life could be like in the civilian world.
Procter actually was too slow for me. That's where I found out, I don't like structures as much as I thought I did, especially if I feel like it's limiting my potential.
Deanna parted ways with Procter, took a short detour into coaching college basketball, and then ended up back in the corporate world at Reckitt Benckiser.
There's where I started to get the entrepreneurial bug. So there's where I realized, like, you know what? These people that have these fancy titles aren't that smart, really. They're also questioning how they got to where they got to. And so being someone that was answering people's questions, you realize that really quickly, that they all have the people that they trust and rely on. I'm a big evaluator of everything. I overanalyze my life. And so when the equation shifted from the value the company was giving me became less than what I thought I was giving them. So that's when I was like, I need to do something different. And I couldn't paint a picture of a company, another company that wasn't my own, where that wouldn't be the same. So that's what made me start to explore entrepreneurship and doing something on my own.
She wanted more control over her life and work and wanted to dictate for herself what her career goals and limitations were. She did not want to conform to some predetermined corporate structure.
I was like, I feel confident that I can get a job if this doesn't work. And the other thing I think that gave me confidence was I actually had to give 6 months notice that I was leaving the company. So because I had that much time, right, I had to be that clear and confident in my decision. It was not a spur of the moment. So what I got a chance to do then was really do that planning. And I had enough people at my company, Reckitt, before I left that they said they would hire me. So they became our first client.
After the break, Deanna shares her start into entrepreneurship, what her mission is at Nachi, and how everything always comes back to building connections.
It takes a lot to grow a business, but one thing's for certain. You've got to have a laser focus on the customer. That's why we use Salesforce Essentials at Mission every day. With Essentials, your small business has access to the same CRM tools driving results for some of the most successful companies on earth. Think Adidas, Amazon, T-Mobile, Toyota, Intuit, Marriott, and tens of thousands more. Track your business health by measuring sales, emails, customer satisfaction, and custom metrics. Go to getessentials.com/thejourney to start your free 90-day trial today.
When Deanna first ventured off on her own, she began using her skills in problem solving, statistics, and data to help solve issues she was familiar with for clients she could relate to.
As you want to make it bigger and your ambitions and your eyes grow bigger, it then becomes, oh, how can we turn this into a methodology or an approach that we can train other people to do, hire them? And so it started as just, I would say, consulting around the way that I solve problems. And the reason that most of the big brands trusted us was because we were an agency founded by people that had worked on the big brands. So you have a different level of trust. Like, I know what it feels like to have to sit in that meeting and defend my P&L. So they trusted us more. And so because we were solving problems for them, maybe in the consumer insight space, they then were like, well, could you do more? Can you do the creative? And can you manage my media team? And can you? And so we just said yes and figured it out after. I think this is what lots of entrepreneurs talk about. You know, you say yes and then you figure it out.
Ultimately, it's those years that brought Deanna to where she is today. Over time, her clients began to shift to a more tech-focused approach, causing her work to naturally follow suit.
I stumbled into building technology with the digitization. So as all the math that we were just doing in Excel moved into the kind of big data space in the digital world, what was coming back to me was I was building tech. Like, that's technology, that's an application. So that then has what's morphed into the company that I have now, which is in essence a technology company, but technology for good, data for good.
It was more than just a digitization of her current processes. It was also a shift in perspective in what data could do, what it could represent, and ultimately what stories it could tell. It's a big mission that needed a committed team and clientele behind it.
I think the nitty-gritty of it is just hiring people that want to bring their whole selves to the job, not some title to the job. And as an entrepreneur, I want the whole person. I want them to think about the budget like it's their own money. I want them to be using their full brain. I recognize the power of that emotional connection with people. I genuinely believe that what we're trying to do is something that hasn't been done before. So how do you convince someone who's, especially if they're in a big company, to do something that I don't have an example of? People buy what they can see and understand. So that has been my biggest challenge. How do you convince someone that has a fairly low risk profile to take a risk? Because that's who you need to get to your next step.
It all comes back to creating an emotional connection in a way that brings others into her world and her vision.
I think it's all in story. So we are humans, and so we learn in stories. So I'm a data person, a technology person, but I love stories. I like data because it's a representation of people, places, and things, and opinions and feelings if you distill it the right way. And so for us, we lead with the narrative. Like, the way that we're even going to market is with the story, the why. And we learn in stories, and we know that we make decisions emotionally, and then we rationalize those decisions with the logic part of us.
It's that emotional pull that's brought Deanna to where she is today, building Nachi, a company that aims to use data to rationalize the decisions everyone wants to feel good about.
I'm a systems thinker, so I hate silos. And so Nachi is really focused on breaking down those silos and helping you actually have a values-driven business, you know, where the whole idea of people over profit and an ecosystem where we all can thrive, moving from an egocentric profit at all costs system. And what if we were able to measure your impact across everything that you touch? And what if I took a company beyond just their profit margin? What if I put their foot to the fire about what they say in their press release about what they care about the communities they live in and their employees and their sourcing? And what if we use big data to measure bias in the way that they're acting and then give them a roadmap on how to do it differently?
That name, Nachi, is even inspired by what you could call a roadmap, a pattern found naturally all around us.
We describe ourselves as kind of, if you look at Nachi, what's named after Fibonacci, the Fibonacci sequence, which is this beautiful mix of art and science, right? And that you can find math in nature and things that we find that are beautiful. And so if we want to live in a world that's beautiful, where we all are thriving, data can help explain that and give us a roadmap, a path to that. So we see ourselves as the R&D lab for like the future of humanity. Is big, but it's a vision that we think motivates. And what we do then is provide a GPS for the outcomes we want. So GPS is the roadmap. It's if you tell me the outcome you want, so I want to decrease my carbon footprint. I want my employees to feel happy at home and work. I want fill in the blank. We then give you a roadmap that's iterative, that evolves with you around how you can get to that outcome, just like a GPS does, right? You plug in your destination, and even if you take a wrong turn, the roadmap still updates, right, in real time, because it's connected to data in a really interesting way.
Nachi helps companies actually achieve the missions in the stories they want to tell. It's a step beyond B Corp and helps drive real, lasting outcomes that affect us all. Deanna's journey hasn't been easy, but she has learned along the way that whether it's companies trying to understand data or individuals trying to build a business, human connection matters.
So I typically hate labels, right? Like I hate all the boxes. I hate the categorization that we use. I was just always fighting against the boxes. And I think how I've evolved, especially as a leader, is for whatever reason, the gifts that I've been given mean that I check a lot of boxes that people are looking for. And what does a box check actually mean? At least how I've flipped it for myself, it means I can get in the room, which means I can have a conversation. Because I check lots of boxes and I can get in lots of different rooms, then actually maybe I can connect the dots between two disparate rooms and use those things that people see as a difference or a reason to classify me as a point of connection.
For Deanna, every conversation, every decision, every connection, every person matters. Her philosophy in life and in business revolves around that foundational idea.
All it takes is one person to change their mind for the whole world to change. One person. It's individuals that are making decisions that impact everyone's life. One person at a time, right? And then a collective of individual people. That's what motivates me.
The tennis star Arthur Ashe once said, quote, "We must reach out our hand in friendship and dignity, both to those who would befriend us and those who would be our enemy." Every interaction we have is an opportunity for connection, and every new connection is an opportunity for change. The foundation of humanity is derived from this sense of connection with each other. We often lose sight of that, but as Deanna has learned, all it takes is one good conversation, one good story, to remind us what makes us human.
Succeeding as a startup, solo founder, or any small business is an uphill battle. It takes the right mindset and the right tools. That's why we're thrilled to partner with Salesforce Essentials to bring you The Journey. Managing one podcast, let alone a whole media studio, is a challenge to say the least. But Essentials makes it easy to maintain relationships and grow our business. With Essentials, your startup has access to the same CRM driving insights and results for the most successful companies in the world. Use unrivaled Salesforce technology to track customers, sales, emails, and more. You'll know where your business is and where it's headed as you chart the path for your journey. We love using Essentials, and we know you will too. Go to getessentials.com/thejourney. To start your free 90-day trial today.